Okay, great. Let's take our Bibles now. Let's turn them and find the book of Exodus, chapter number 24. Thank you, Brett, for that. I really appreciate that. All right, Exodus chapter number 24. And I'm going to be reading a good many verses or alluding to a lot of them. I don't expect you to turn to them all, okay? And you can just listen. But here's one text I do want you to see. I'll read a couple other verses first, and then we'll go to Exodus 24. And really, for this sermon tonight, I was really wrestling with what exactly to preach. When I do my devotions each morning, I write down notes, and those basically become the seed thoughts. That's my dad's word for it, for sermons in the future. And so I have a collection. I have a little database. That's how geeky I am. I have a database of seed thoughts that's about 500 of them. And so I go through them and I add to them constantly, and sooner or later they become a full-blown sermon. This one has been there, sitting there a while. And I really believe that the Lord led me to this. I don't know why, but I guess we'll see tonight. And so it's Exodus chapter number 24. I'm going to read in chapter 19 first, just a couple of quick things. In 19:16 it says, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." It's talking about the Ten Commandments giving them. That's God there on the mountain. And in 19:9 it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever." And then we come into Exodus 24. Exodus 24, verse 1, and it says, "And he said unto Moses," that's God speaking to Moses, "Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go with them." Skip down to verse number 9. "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel." Verse 15. "And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel, like a storm cloud." Verse 18. "And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights." And the title to this message is not in Exodus, but it's in one of the minor prophets in Nahum. And the verse in Nahum 1:3 says, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and in the clouds are the dust of his feet." The message tonight is his way is in the whirlwind.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. In the Old Testament, okay, when we read the Old Testament, it's very unlike the New Testament letters of Paul, let's say. In the Old Testament, what we get is we get the character of God. We learn what God is like. And so when the Old Testament tells us what the character of God is like, and here we learn that God lives, his abode, his house is in the clouds. Okay? Biblically speaking, God does not live in the circus.
Amen.
Okay? If he did, what would that tell us about his character? God does not live in the theme park. And if he did, what would that tell us about his character? You understand what I'm saying? God also, he doesn't show up and meet with people in the Bible in a beautiful sunset.
Which is good, amen.
He meets with them in the whirlwind.
Amen.
In the middle of a thick cloud. In the Bible, clouds are not like, you know, this cute little thing like the poem, "I wandered lonely as a cloud." That's not it. Okay? on Mount Sinai, when God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses, smoke is coming up from the mountain. A big storm cloud has descended on the mountain, lightnings and thunders and a big booming voice. And all of the children of Israel are freaked out of their mind. Amen. And then God says, hey, Moses, come on up here. You know, we're going to meet together. But that's not just Moses. When God shows up and has a powerful encounter with someone, their life changes forever. But it's not because of a beautiful sunset or because they went to the circus. It's because they met him in the whirlwind. Amen. And his way is in the whirlwind. That's what I want to speak tonight. It might just be for one or two of you. It might just be for me. But if you aren't facing this thing right now, and God has not told you, hey, I want you to come up into the cloud with me, it will happen later. The cloud experience takes you spiritually to the next level.
Oh, that's good. Amen.
You see?
Amen.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about here. In Psalm 18:11, it says, he made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. It doesn't sound like, you know, the cute little father figure God strumming a harp on the clouds. That's not what's going on, right? He invites people in Scripture to join him in the cloud. He overshadows them. And we're going to see that invitation is not just to Moses in the Old Testament or Peter, James, and John in the New Testament. He stretches out his hand of invitation to us.
Amen.
Today. And he says, come and meet with me. Where? In the storm cloud. In the whirlwind. So there is a pattern threaded through all of the Bible that we see here. And I want to trace that for you. Again, you're not going to be flipping through the Bible. You can just listen to some of these scriptures. And we'll make the appropriate application. We're going to see that his way is in the whirlwind and why that matters for us. It matters dramatically. And I hope that you will just hang with me through this whole thing, and we'll jump right in. Amen. Father, thank you for everyone that you've assembled here. You let them get off work tonight. You let them be here, people that are watching online that maybe wouldn't have otherwise. You've assembled us here tonight, and we want to hear from your word. We want you to speak to us powerfully and help us to understand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So here it is. Moses is at the edge of Mount Sinai, okay? And they are about to go into the promised land. That was the original idea, is that they go straight from Egypt into the promised land. That didn't work out too well. They ended up wandering around the desert for 40 years. But that's the idea. Moses has it in his mind that, okay, we're going from Egypt. We've passed through the Red Sea. Now we're going to the Canaan land like the Lord promised. And this whole encounter with God is kind of inconvenient to him. All right, God says, all right, I want everyone just to stop where they're at here. I want the leader to come up here and meet with me. And he does for 40 days and 40 nights. He does, and when he gets into the cloud, he doesn't hear anything at all for 6 days.
Wow.
And then on the seventh day, after a long, prolonged period of silence, God starts speaking to him.
Amen.
It wasn't convenient for Moses. He was alone by himself. If you've ever fasted for more than several days, you understand what that's like. You feel weak. You feel like you're not in control. You feel like your head is spinning. You have a caffeine headache if you're addicted to coffee. And this whole situation is very intimidating. When you're in a cloud, if you've ever flown on an airplane and you went through a cloud and you couldn't see anything out the window, it's a little scary.
Amen.
It's a little scary for the pilots who they are totally dependent on their instruments.
Yeah.
They have zero visibility. And here is Moses in this cloud. It's not very glamorous. When you think of all of God's beautiful creations, you don't think being in the middle of a cloud is one of them. But that's where God chooses to meet with us and to change our lives forever. For Moses, the cloud, this cloud experience with God sets the tone for the rest of his whole ministry. It was anything but an interruption to his journey. It was the crucial preparation time for the journey.
Amen.
And a lot of times when God slows us down in life, maybe like the Apostle Paul, he slaps him off his horse. He goes blind. That's very inconvenient, okay? I think Paul was like, hey, look, I'm on my way to go torture Christians. Isn't this what you want? And then God kind of changed his mind there. A lot of times when this happens, when God throws us off the horse, when he wrestles with us during the night like Jacob, and we leave with a limp, it changes our whole direction of life. And we have to embrace the cloud experience.
Amen.
It's good for us if we actually want to grow spiritually. So, why does God meet us in the cloud? Here's why. Why couldn't he just meet us on the top of a mountain or in a forest somewhere? What's the deal with the cloud? One, sometimes God meets with us in the cloud for punishing. And this is not usually with his children, but what happens is when you see God show up in the Bible, a lot of times it is to judge the nations. And where is he? He's riding on the clouds. So before the Exodus story, the last mention of a cloud in the Bible, Byron, is God judging the earth with a flood.
Yeah.
Right? The judge of the earth. That's the first mention of the cloud. That's not a pretty picture. In Psalm 18:13, it says, "The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them." That doesn't sound, you know, very cuddly, does it? In Joel 2:2, here's what happens. It says, it's talking about the day of the Lord, the end of days, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Ezekiel 33 says, "For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day." Are you kind of getting the picture here? Okay. Jesus himself, when he says, "When I return to judge the world," here's what's going to happen, Matthew 24:30, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." God's presence in the lightning storm is not a comfort to his enemies.
No. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Usually when God invites someone up into the cloud, it's met with fear first. Whoa, what did I do? You know, sometimes when we get chastened by God, or when God just is trying to take us to the next level, our reaction is, "Well, what did I do?" You know, I didn't do anything. At least I don't think so. That's what happened with Job. Okay?
Amen.
God calls him to the whirlwind. And Job's like, "Look, I didn't do anything. What's going on?" It's not always for punishment, but that's what happens a lot of times in the Bible. It is a frightening thing. Okay? So we shouldn't take coming into God's presence lightly.
Amen.
That's what we learn from this punishment thing, okay? So God's presence in the Bible, when it shows up visibly, it's not like these modern worship songs that, you know, "God is my boyfriend" type thing.
Yes, come on, amen.
Okay? I mean, the irreverence in that.
Amen.
In the Bible, coming into the presence of God, you don't have to be trembling and freaking out, but there should be a real awe.
Amen.
And a real respect.
Amen.
as to who you get to spend time with. So sometimes it's for punishing, not always, but secondly, and most often in the Bible, when you see the cloud and God, sometimes God meets us in the cloud for his presence. Okay, this is the most common usage in the Old Testament. So when God is guiding the children of Israel through the wilderness, he does so with a pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. So anytime that they saw the cloud, they knew God was here.
Amen.
He is among us.
Amen.
He is with us. He is guiding us. He is sustaining us. And seeing the cloud reminds us that God has it in control.
Amen.
There's a direction to my life, even if it seems like I'm wandering.
Amen.
God's presence. In Numbers 9:15, it talks about the cloud covering the tabernacle. The appearance of fire at night until the morning. In Numbers, the book of Numbers, the Lord descends in a cloud and picks the 70 elders. In Numbers 14:14, even the enemies around Israel knew that when they saw the pillar of cloud, it meant that God was there. And that God was directing them. So in Numbers 12:5, here's another kind of symbolism of the cloud. God came down in a pillar of cloud when Aaron and Miriam were kind of having this little rebellion time against Moses, and they kind of thought in their head and said out loud, "Who's this Moses guy? Why is he, you know, the leader? Why can't we be?" And instead of Moses taking that into his own hands, getting angry, getting bitter, getting vengeful, you know, he leaves that to God.
Amen.
To deal with.
Amen.
And it says in Numbers 12:5 that God came down in a pillar of cloud and rebukes Miriam. If Moses had tried to deal with that on his own, he wouldn't have gotten very far. It's not like he can call the cops on Aaron and Miriam, you know. All he can do is just get angry about it, or he can turn it over to God.
Amen.
And when you see the pillar of cloud and you know that God is there with you, then you don't have to try to play God yourself.
Amen.
You see?
Yeah. Amen.
You can leave it to him. When we know we have God's presence and that he is among us, guiding us, protecting us, we don't have to assume God's role.
Amen.
So why has God interrupted my life and your life from time to time with this cloud thing? Maybe it's because he wants us to recognize his presence in our life.
Amen.
That we truly don't have things under control in our own strength and our own power.
Amen.
That we are not the guides of our life. It is God.
Amen.
He is in that role, not us.
Amen.
And a lot of times in that wilderness wandering, God said, okay, camp here. And then the cloud just stayed. They didn't know for how long. They didn't know where they were going next. But they knew, I can trust God. He has provided for me, and he will provide for me in the future. And that cloud experience where God says, hey, come spend some time with me. Anytime that you do that, you're reminded of his presence, just like the Old Testament saints were.
Amen.
The cloud of his presence reminds me that I am not him.
It's good. Amen.
So sometimes God says for us to meet him in the cloud for punishing, for presence. Second, or third, for pause. In Exodus 19:6, it says, it gives the reason for the Lord's coming in a form of a thick cloud. And it's so that people will hear when he speaks and believe forever. So when you're surrounded by this cloud and all you can see is this white puffiness, you can't see anything else. I think one of the reasons for that is to make us stop talking and start listening.
That is good.
There is not much you can do when you are by yourself in a cloud.
It's true. Amen.
It forces you to stop and pause. With our social media and Facebook culture,
yeah,
where we are bombarded with pictures and with scrolling and with information overload, and we're trying to drink from the fire hydrant of information, a lot of times we don't know what pause looks like.
That's good. That's true.
We have forgotten.
Amen. Amen.
And if you don't believe me, you know, what's the first thing that you reach for maybe in the morning? If it's your cell phone to check. Your life is not ever having a pause. We don't have to celebrate the Sabbath every week, okay, for that pause, but that principle does apply.
Amen.
There must be a pause.
Amen.
And this idea of silence in the Bible, we are not used to that either. In Psalms, it says, "Be still and know that I am God."
Amen.
Sometimes silence freaks us out. It's like, it's too quiet. Silence allows God to speak to you.
Amen.
Sometimes
Amen.
We do too much of the talking.
Amen.
In our prayer closets, in our time with the Lord, it can't just be us and our Amen. Voice. Sometimes it's Amen. Stopping.
Amen.
And asking the question, Lord, do you have anything to say?
Amen.
That shouldn't be a novel concept to us. Here's the thing. If we don't intentionally take time to pause, to prioritize the pausing and getting alone with God and spending time with Him and understanding what He wants us to do, He will force the pause on us.
Ooh, amen.
Sometimes God says, all right, hey, Moses, come on up to the mountain. And He extends His arm, His outstretched arm, and He waits for Moses and He, all right, come on up here. Other times, He takes people by the hand and pulls them into the cloud. Why? It's because God doesn't like us because He's a bully? No. No. He wants to take you to a different level in life.
Amen.
When Moses came down from the mountain, his face shone. People knew that is something obviously changed in that cloud to you. Something happened. And there's no denying it. You have met God, and His life was forever changed. You ask Jacob. Jacob was a conniver. He was a trickster. And he thought he had life by the horns, okay? And then he met God in the night, and he wrestled with Him. And his walk was forever different. You remember the story? He started limping the rest of his life. And every step he took was a reminder that I am not God. And God does control my life.
Amen.
And Jacob got changed his name to Israel. We now know the children of Israel, the whole nation, okay, of Israel. This change happened in the dead of night wrestling with the angel. Are you following what I'm saying?
Amen.
So why does God meet us in the cloud? For punishing, for presence, for pause? In 1 Kings 8:10, this is when the temple was dedicated, and it says, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. So the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that He would dwell in thick darkness. Now, hey, wait a second. It took them a long time to build the temple, didn't it? Like a long time. And now, once the priests are ready to go and they're ready to start offering sacrifices and start serving, now the cloud descends and it's so thick that they can't do anything. You're like, hey, wait a second. Why doesn't God just get out of the way so I can start serving Him in His house? You know why God, His cloud filled the temple and didn't let anyone do anything for a certain time? It's because God wanted to remind all of us that
Amen.
His house, His kingdom, all of it is about Him.
Amen.
It doesn't revolve around my work for Him. Sometimes in our work for the Lord, we can get so busy we forgot that, like, this whole thing is about Him.
Amen.
About His presence.
Amen.
And when God forces us to pause, then we kind of get this wake-up moment like, oh man, you know, like my priorities in life are a little off. Like maybe I should like start doing things just to please the Lord and not myself and not anybody else. But recentering my mind on the fact that this is God's house, His work, and it's not about me. God, look, God does not need me. He chooses to use me. He chooses to use you. If we'll let Him.
Amen.
When God's people, one man said this, when God's people, I'll skip that. So the need for silence was big in Job's life. You remember him? He got so much happened to him, right? The devil was able to attack him. And he has all these questions, and he starts talking with his three friends and a later friend that showed up later. And they talk, and this doesn't make sense, and that doesn't make sense. And it's 42 chapters of this thing, and then the Lord shows up in the whirlwind.
Amen. Amen.
And he says, "Hey, Job, the time for talking is over, and it's time for you to start listening. Your perspective is half right, but you don't see the bigger picture." And so often when we have a case against God, we wouldn't say it like that, but that's what it is. It's a case against God. Why are you letting this happen? Look, I could do so much more for you if you let me be more healthy. I could do so much more for you if you gave me more money. And that's a case against God. And when God forces us to pause and he invites us to come up to him in the whirlwind, he says, "You need to start listening."
Amen.
That's the time to immerse yourself in Scripture. That's how God speaks to us and the inner promptings of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes God meets us in the cloud for punishing, for presence, for pause. And then fourth, for purifying. Sometimes we meet God in the cloud so that we can be cleansed of sin. In Isaiah, when he gets called right before his ministry, he gets called to ministry. In Isaiah 6:1, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." In verse 4, "And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts."
Amen.
One of the reasons God wants us to see him is it gives us a sense of, oh man, you know, I thought I was right with the Lord. I thought, yeah, me and God are okay. We're doing all right. And then I got to know God. And I got to know his word. And he's shown a spotlight on some things that need to be fixed.
Amen.
He showed me that I am not better than anyone else. I am a whole lot of pride in me or whatever the issue is. But sometimes God makes us stop and invites us in the cloud or pulls us in there because there are some things that need to change in our lives, in our hearts. When Moses came down from the mountain, his face shone. And when you have truly met God, you no longer have an inflated view of self.
That is good. Amen.
There's some humility about you when you come down the mountain.
Amen.
Okay. The Bible says that we ought to humble ourselves before God. And what happens is it's either that we humble ourselves or the Lord does that for us eventually.
Amen.
And it's a lot harder when he does that for us. When he takes us through a school of humility, those are hard lessons to learn.
Amen.
You find out how weak you are when you start fasting a little bit. And you find out, I'm not in control as I thought I was. So sometimes God calls us in the cloud for these reasons. And then fifth, and I'm done here. Sometimes it's for perspective. You see God clearest, catch this, when you can't see anything at all. All the other distractions in life are kind of aside. You think of Paul on the road to Damascus, he gets thrown off his horse, now he's blind. That really lets you examine your priorities in life. What I've spent my life chasing, now that I can't do much of anything at all. Now that I'm debilitated, I can't do much. I depend on people for everything. It was God saying, "Do I have your attention now? Now that you're blind, can you see clearly?"
Amen.
And Paul listened.
Amen.
And it did the trick. I wonder, does he have to do that to us?
Come on, amen. Amen.
I hope not. There is a way of meeting God in the clouds without having to go blind first. You see?
Amen.
So for perspective, we say a lot of times when we're in this cloud, I'm stuck. I'm not moving in life. There's this goal that I want to get to, and God won't let me. I can't see anything. I can't see my way through. And he says, I know. That's the point. And I have something to show you. So with Elijah, you remember the story? He cuts off the heads of the prophets of Baal, right? And it's this big showdown. And then the Lord says, okay, go hide yourself in the cleft of the rock. Okay? And there's this big earthquake, and God's not in the earthquake. And there's this rushing mighty wind, and he's not in the rushing mighty wind. You remember the big storm, he's not there, but he's in the still small voice.
Amen.
Elijah was very depressed in his mind. He thought that I am the only guy that's serving the Lord, and I did this big thing for God, and no one else is helping me, and all this stuff. And God had to teach him that I'm not always in the business of chopping off people's heads, okay? He tells him just a couple verses later that I am going to send national revival to Israel. Awesome! We're going to round up more prophets of Baal? No. He says, I'm going to have you anoint this secular king, and through some political reform, that is going to help the nation of Israel. And I think Elijah was standing there going, excuse me? What? I have my axe ready. I'm ready to chop off some more heads. Sometimes God says, okay, you've been doing this thing for a while, and I really need to change your perspective.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Sometimes God transitions our ministries to a different avenue.
Amen.
A different thing.
Amen.
Sometimes when we can't do as much anymore, okay, instead of binge watching TV, it might be that God has given you the ministry of prayer, and you need to spend a long time in prayer going to battle for us.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
But you're like, well, that's not what I was used to doing. Yeah, that's why God has brought you into the cloud. He wants you to see something.
Amen.
He wants you to see that there's more tools in God's tool belt than what he has had you do for a long time. Okay? Sometimes God does not simply reach out his hand and invite us into the darkness. He pulls us into it. We need to be blind for a while sometimes so we can see straight. When I've been taken by the hand into the clouds, personally, okay, I've had these cloud moments myself. I'm glad that they're not every single day. I don't think I could take that. But when I look back on my devotion notes, you know, my journaling and this and that, the notes that shine through, and it's like God was, you know, I couldn't see him in the room. He was there. The most precious times I've ever had with the Lord have been in the thick of the cloud.
Amen.
And if you have been there too, you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
And from that experience, God has grown me a little bit at a time. But that's how he works.
Amen.
He stretches us.
Amen.
Gives us better perspective.
Amen.
And though we wouldn't want to be weak all the time, you can't go fasting all the time. You'll starve to death, okay? But some of those weak moments where either you voluntarily make yourself weak by fasting or God just makes you weak by other circumstances, it's for our growth.
Amen.
And our better perspective. And then lastly, sometimes God brings us in the cloud for preparation. He did that for Moses. Without the cloud experience, Moses wouldn't have had the law, the Ten Commandments. Pretty important stuff.
Amen.
You can't learn a whole lot when you're constantly on the go and your schedule is just packed. God sometimes slows you down so you can take the time to study.
Amen.
And to learn.
Amen.
And to know more about him. In Ezekiel 1:4, before Ezekiel's very, very tough ministry, a very tough ministry if you've ever read the book, here's what happens at the very start. Ezekiel 1:4, it says, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire." In 1:28, As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of one that spake. Before God takes Ezekiel and has him do some very, very tough stuff in life, he shows him his glory. He shows him a vision of who God is. Amen. For Paul, he shows him heaven itself for a very tough ministry. Yeah. And this has really overwhelmed my heart the last day as I've been studying this. I think of some of you teens, and I think of you guys, in some of your cases, God has given you a cloud experience. And he has drawn you close to himself at a very, very young age. And you've had to endure what a lot of adults have not.
Yeah, it's true.
And instead of counting that as a very bad thing, is God growing you up at a very young age and preparing you, like Ezekiel, he's giving you a vision of himself if you'll depend upon him. Because he wants to give you a very, very special ministry in life. I really, really believe that.
Amen. Amen.
In Peter, James, and John, when Jesus comes to town in Matthew, he brings them up to a mountain, and it says that a bright cloud overshadowed them. And was it God speaking? Yes, in the person of Jesus, he was there. And remember, he was there with Moses and Elijah, the other cloud experienced people on the Mount of Transfiguration. And only Jesus was left afterwards, meaning that he is way better than these other guys. So at his death, here's what happened. Jesus himself had a cloud moment. In Matthew 27:45, it says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Here's the point of this. When Jesus was in the cloud, in the darkness, he was alone. And he did that for you and me, so that when we enter the cloud, we don't have to be alone.
Amen.
He takes us by the hand.
Amen.
And his hand is outstretched still to us.
Amen.
That's the power of the cross.
Amen.
He took the darkness, the storm of judgment that we deserved, that he did not deserve. He took the darkness so that we might see the light. Why? Because that's his way. His way is in the whirlwind. In Matthew 24:30, it says that, "Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." The King is coming back. God is coming back, and he is coming in the clouds. When he ascended back into heaven, he ascended back into heaven on the clouds. He is the God of the Old Testament. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And in the last book of the entire Bible, we know how it ends. And it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." And here's the promise to us. Are you ready? In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord."
Amen.
The Lord gave me something about a month ago. I want to read it to you. He gave me I was reading in my devotions. I hadn't written a poem in a very, very long time. And I think this is just, if it's not for you, it's for me.
Amen. Amen.
And I want to read it to you. "His way is in the whirlwind, and storm clouds path his feet. His bow is drawn, and war has donned, a chariot his seat. For Babylon from ages gone, for Egypt's wicked score, for Tyre in her tyranny, for Greece and Rome and more, for Adam in the garden who caused the curse of sin, for rebels made in paradise, alive in Adam's kin. We watch with haughty, doom-filled eyes, his arrow aimed, and yes, his hand is outstretched still. My God, he cried aloud, his hands outstretched in love. He took the target of my sin. The judge became the judged. He does not break the wounded reed, nor choke the faded flame. He hugs the outcast and the fallen, for mercy is his aim. To all the bent and broken, the tired and confused, to all the smashed and battered, rebellious and the bruised, he whispers in the whirlwind, to all the slaves of sin, a ransom is provided to all of Adam's kin. His mercy plan, with a nail-scarred hand, he reaches down, and yes, his hand is outstretched still. I'll conclude with this. In the book of Hebrews, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." That's where the cloud was, the mercy seat, "that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When you can't see anything but the clouds, when you can't see anything but the clouds, consider that that might be God's intention, because his way is in the whirlwind. So let him have his way with thee. Let's pray. Father, thank you for showing us your character in the Bible. I pray that we would meet you, meet with you, and that you would do a work in our hearts.